We've been going through our studies on the purpose-driven life. And today, the word that I'm bringing is based on the studies that we are doing. And the theme for today's message is that you were created to become like Christ. Amen. So we would read from Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. Romans 8 and verse 29. Are we there? Right. Now, talking about Jesus Christ, the scripture says here that for those who God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Amen. Now, last week we had our sister Jean talk to us about family. And the whole purpose of us being together as children of God speaks of what? Family. And so everything that we are doing relates to the family that we belong to. And that is the family of God. And there's something very unique that I believe each and every one of us would agree that when you go into any family, there are certain characteristics. There are things that you can identify that family with. So like if you came to my household, those who are from family, and you stayed with us for a while, you would see certain characteristics that pertains to the family. And so if you were to meet my son or my daughter somewhere, you know, you would say, ah, that's Brother John's daughter. That's Brother John's son. Why? Because you can see something. There are certain things that you can identify that individual with me that says that we come from the old who are from what? Family. And so it is with us. As children of God, we have an identity. And we all know that in every family, when you have kids, they grow up doing the things that they see, doing the things that they hear. So the other day, I was just having a conversation, you know, and I was telling my missus that, do you know what? Our next door neighbors, I overheard the kids swearing and shouting and, you know, all that. But the thing is, my wife wasn't surprised because she knew that that's exactly how the parents behave. They are always shouting at the top of their voices, swearing and cursing, right? So it doesn't come as a surprise because that is what they see in the home. And that is what they go through as they are growing. So it becomes some sort of identity with them. Sad as it may seem. But it's the same thing with us as children of God. Now Jesus Christ is the firstborn in our family. He is gone to the Father, right? But then we have to follow in his footsteps. Because that is the only way that people can identify us as being what? Part and parcel of what? Of God's family. And so you notice that in the book of Acts chapter 11, you know, it talks about the believers that it says in Antioch, for the first time they were called what? Christians. They used to be called the people of the way, the people of the way, right? But then, people around looked at their lifestyle and they said, nah, these people, they act, they talk, they do everything just like Jesus, the man Jesus that we knew. The Christ. Okay, so they began to call them what? Christians. They said, oh, do you remember the guy that claimed to be the Savior, the Christ? These people are acting just like him. The way they talk, the way they walk, everything they do is just like him. And so they call them also what? Christians. In a sense, they were kind of like those outside the church would have been mocking them. You know, saying, yeah, you see, look at them. They're just like that guy, you know, who was saying that he was the Savior. But the truth is, they could identify, you know, that there is something that was unique about them that reflected that man, Jesus, who claimed to be what? The Christ. And we as believers, being in the family of God, have to also be like what? Our elder brother Jesus. Amen. He has given us an example, and by his lifestyle, he's up there with the Father. And so for us to follow in that same footsteps, we might be called Christians, but it shouldn't just be a label. It has to reflect in everything that we say and what? And we do. Now, someone may ask, how then do we achieve that? How then do we live that lifestyle that would reflect who we are, in that we can be identified as people of what? Christ. That we belong to that family of Christ. Now, Jesus said something in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3. If we can read that. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3. He says, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now that's a very profound statement. He says, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of what? Of heaven. Now, I hope we are not having some Nicodemus, you know, moment where his encounter with Jesus, you know, when we read the Gospels in John's Gospel chapter 3, and he talks about Nicodemus going to see Jesus and, you know, Jesus having some deep spiritual conversations with him and then talking about being born again, and Nicodemus, an old man, you know, looking at Jesus and thinking, is he right in his mind to talk about me being born again at my age? Am I going to be going back into my mother's womb to be born again? That's impossible. But Jesus was giving him a revelation of a spiritual truth. Now here we have Jesus saying that unless we become like little children, we will not enter into what? The kingdom of heaven. Surely we all know that we can become children again. That is, if you grow like me, I can go back to my parents, you know, probably drinking milk and having soft food and all that, because I'm an old man, okay? But Jesus is actually revealing something. And one thing I find in the scriptures is that anything that God, in his word, he uses to, as an analogy, you need to understand certain characteristics of it to be able to know what God is saying. So if Jesus says that we have to be like children, what is it about children that we need to know about so that we can be like him to enter into the kingdom of heaven? Right? And this is what we are going to be looking at, because there are four unique characteristics about children. I know some of us probably might say, well, not my children, you know, but the truth is, every child has that. And when we understand that, we will know how we can relate to what God tells us and how to order our lives so that we can be like Jesus. Amen. Amen. Number one, we have to be vulnerable. Every child is vulnerable. And that is why every child depends on the parents for its what? Its provision, protection, guidance. Because without the parents, any child that is born, anything goes. Right? So if you are a child, every child is vulnerable. And because of the vulnerability of every child, that is why they need someone to take care of what? Of them. You see, we as believers have to understand that. That unless you understand that you have to be vulnerable in a positive sense, I'm not talking of a negative sense, being vulnerable in that you acknowledge that everything that you can do or achieve is only through God, then you haven't begun the journey at all. As a child of God, you have to be vulnerable. So your entire life, when you wake up in the morning, the reason we pray is not just to say, God, I want this, I want that. But we acknowledge that we are going to our Father. He has the resources. He has the knowledge. He knows the way. He understands the day. And so committing our lives into His hands means that we are acknowledging our vulnerability, that for us to be able to go through the day, it is only when God leads the way. Amen. Amen. That is what Jesus used to do. You read several scriptures and it talks about him early in the morning, he goes somewhere to go and pray, right? Even during this temptation, the only reason he stood up and was able to overcome the enemy is because he had gone to seek the face of the Father, right? So everything he did that, to acknowledge that truth, that without the Father, there is nothing that he could do. Now let's read John's Gospel, chapter 15 and verse 5. John's Gospel, chapter 15 and verse 5. It says, and I'll read on, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be what? My disciples. Jesus is telling us that apart from him, there is nothing that we what? We can do. Right? So we have to remain in him. We have to remain in God. You know, we give our lives over to God. We lay down our lives, you know, in the presence of God, acknowledging that, God, without you, there's nothing that I can do. I can't sidestep. I can't do any other thing but to acknowledge my own weakness. I always have this saying that the day you think you have arrived and you can do everything on your own, that's the day you are dead. True. You see, a lot of people live in this world and they think that, oh, it is by their own might, wisdom, knowledge that, you know, they go through the day. They don't know that it's just the grace of God that, you know, is keeping them. You know, you remember the parable of that man that, you know, had so much from his farm that, you know, he said, I'll break down my bonds, I'll expand, and I'll, you know, I'll store so much for myself, and I'll celebrate. And he says what? God said that night, you fool. You know why? Because he thought that everything that he had gained was by his own strength. He didn't acknowledge that it was God that had given him that grace. So we have to be vulnerable. Two, every child imitates what he sees, what he hears. Right? So we also have to imitate what we hear, what we read, you know, from the Word of God. Because we cannot be any different. It becomes an identity. Like the child that hears his parents swearing would also end up swearing and cursing. Why? Because that's all that they know. So it becomes an identity. And with us, we also have to imitate. I mean, I'm quite sure our mothers here, you know, can relate to when their daughters being, you know, very young, and you probably will go into the room and find out that they've poured all the talcum powder and, you know, makeup and everything all over their face, and, you know, everything is all over the floor. Why? Because they're trying to imitate what they saw mom do, you know, and they think, well, okay, I'll stick some lipstick somewhere, and it goes all the way, right, you know, across the cheek somewhere, you know, talcum powder over, all over the hair, you know, makeup and everything all over the place. All because they are trying to imitate the parent. What they see mother do, what they see dad do, is exactly what they also want to what? Imitate. So as a child of God, you have to imitate that which is of what? Of God. And we read also in John's Gospel, chapter 5, and verse 19 onwards. Jesus said this. He said, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself." So referring back to his vulnerability, okay? Again, then he says, he can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also what? Does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. You see, when you are vulnerable and you place your life into the hands of God and acknowledge him as the source of your strength, the source of your wisdom, the source of everything that you need for this life, what you get in return is that he shows you the way. He gives you the wisdom. He gives you the guidance, right? So what you do, remaining in God, has the benefit of you being able to know what to do. Because he reveals his ways, what? To you. And by so doing, you are able to imitate Christ. Hallelujah. See, so we imitate Christ because that is how people can identify us and say, these are what? Christians. These people know Christ. You know, even people of the world who probably don't even know much about the gospel. Have you noticed that when you are in the workplace or some other place and you are living that life that portrays Christ, there's always that wonder in the faces of people, you know, and they think, wow, you know, they will probably come and ask you, how come that you were so calm in this situation? How come that you didn't retaliate when I said this or did that? You see, because they can identify, they can actually see something unique about you, that no, that you are actually different, because you're not behaving like they are behaving. You are not reacting in any way like they would react in certain situations. Because you are imitating your Father. You are doing what you see that your Father would want you to do. And that is where we have, you know, sometimes people say, you know, have to say this thing that what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? So you find yourself in any situation, and the question that should come to your mind is, what would Jesus do? Hallelujah. But you have the wisdom to be able to do what is right because you seek the face of God. You acknowledge your vulnerability and you let God lead and guide you. And so the decision that you take becomes one that leads you in the right path. Amen. Number three, you have to have focus and determination. Now, I know some of us might think, really, about kids? Yes, it's true. Have you noticed when you tell your child, don't touch that, it's exactly what that they will do. Stop, they look around, and they're doing exactly what you said they shouldn't do. That is focus and determination. You see, the child has made up his mind or her mind that this is what I'm going to do, right? And once they desire to do that, what mom says, what dad says, becomes a bit irrelevant. So they look around and, well, she's turned her eyes away. I'll touch it a little bit and see how that is. It is. You see, for us in the flesh, it might be a bit negative, but it still speaks about the fact that the child is very focused and what? Determined. And that is how we as a people who have been called to be like Christ have to be. We read in James chapter 1 and verse 5 to 8, that talks about the fact that, you know, if we lack wisdom, we should do what? Ask of God. It says that we should not waver, right? I want us to read and just, you know, take into the very words that are there, and then we'll understand this much better. James chapter 1, and let's read from verse 5 downwards. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Unstable in all. So he's not just talking about having faith, but what he's saying is that your entire life, because you are not focused and determined, nothing really works. Everything is all in what? In a shambles. You have to be very determined, because we live in a world where there are so many things trying to detract you and distract you. So many things trying to move you out of the way, and so many things trying to just take advantage of you. But as a child of God and one that is imitating Christ, you have to be very determined and focused in whatever you do. You know, when you read in Isaiah chapter 50, I guess, it talks about Jesus. And how he describes Jesus is that he set his face. He says, I've set my face like flint. You know, because when Jesus was going to face the cross, it wasn't easy. They all understood what it meant to be crucified by the Romans. And for Jesus to know that he was going to go through that, he had to be very determined that I know my calling, I know my purpose, and I'm not going to let anything what get in the way of me fulfilling that which God has called me to do. And that is how imitating Christ is. You have to be very determined, because we live in a world that so many things try to just get you off track. And it's unfortunate, but you might go to so many places now today and they talk about being Christians, and you look around and you ask yourself, where is Christ? You know why? Because drip by drip, they've allowed things to distract and detract them from what needs to be done. And everything else has become, I have the saying that when you have someone always giving excuses about what they know God's word says, and they say, oh, but we are living in modern times, then you know there's trouble. The moment you hear people making those statements, then you know that they are in trouble. You know why? Because you cannot deny what God says and still call yourself a child of God. It is either you believe it or you don't believe it at all. Unfortunately, today we have that in the world where some people claim, oh, it's all, you know, we love God. We open to everything. Everything? No, I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way. Because the house of God has an identity, and that identity is in Christ. And it's either you believe what Jesus has said or God has said in his word, or you don't believe it at all. So when people start giving excuses, then you know that there is trouble. But as children of God, we have to be very, very what? Determined. Very determined. Four, we have to take pride in the things that we believe in and in the things that we do. Now, when the kids go out the door and they go and have their Sunday school, you know, they do all the artwork and everything. And when they are released early and they come in here and the parents are sitting there, what do? They quickly run, mom, 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 dad, look at my thing, look at my thing. They want to show off what they've done. They want to show off their achievements, right? So for us as children of God, we have to take pride in the fact that we belong to the kingdom. So that our ways and everything we do and say has to be of the kingdom. Because there's no point calling yourself a Christian and being ashamed of the fact that you're a Christian. Because maybe you see people that are unbelievers around you. No, you don't have to. You have to be proud about that. You see, you have to take pride in that. Because when you do that which is right in the sight of God, your father is what? He's pleased. Just as your child will run out through that door and present to you all the caricatures and everything that they've drawn on paper and give it to you as a parent with a beaming smile, I don't think any of us parents will go and say, oh, what a horrible picture that you've made. No. You smile back. You are happy. You know, you rejoice with them. Because one, your children acknowledge you and they have come to present to you their achievements. The question is, are you proud enough to present to God what you've achieved? That's the way of children. So as a believer, you need to always be proud in doing the things that are good, because it what? It pleases your father. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 5. Proverbs 23 and verse 5. Sorry, verse 25. I mean, not verse 5, verse 25. It says, may your father and mother rejoice. May she who gave you birth be what? Joyful. Who is our father? Who is our mother? Wise words. We have to make God our father joyful. We have to make God our father pleased with us for the things that we do. We go to Philippians chapter 4 and we read verse 8 and 9. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. And he says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned and received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. In other words, anything that pleases God, our Father, is what our thoughts, our actions have to be based on. Because we are showing that we are proud of who we are as children of God. And our identity demands that everything we say and do reflects the family that we come from. Okay? So it's not like someone says, wait, I'm going to church. When I come back, I'll come and deal with you. You know, so they have an identity for church and they have an identity when they get back into the public space to go and, you know, do whatever they want to do. But we as children of God always have to have that in our minds that everything that we are doing it so that our God will be pleased, because in doing that which is right, it brings praise, glory, and honor to our Father. Amen. And that is exactly what Jesus did. Despite all the, I mean, people who might say all kinds of things against you, but the truth is that even the evil men acknowledge when someone has done something good. They might not say it to your face, but the truth is they can't deny that which is good. Other than that, you know, people in evil, you know, communities like the mafia and whatnot wouldn't have a code of practice, would they? Why do they have a code of practice? Because that is what they can use to identify you as being what, a member of their group. So even amongst evil men, there's a code of practice. So you as a child of God also has to have a code of practice, and that is from the Word of God. Amen. Amen. And so long as you are focused on doing that which God requires you to do, you are being built up more like Jesus. Amen. So one, we have to be vulnerable. Acknowledge that without God, we are nothing. Two, we imitate. That everything we hear, everything we see, that is good, we follow that example because it is of God. Three, we have to be focused and determined because we live in a world that many things are there to try to hold us back, to try and pull us down. And that is all the strategy of the enemy. Right? Jesus wasn't tempted at any time, only after he had gone to seek the face of his Father. You know, gone through a fast, desiring to do that which was good. That was when the devil did come. And if you notice, it is always when you have gone into a time of prayer and you are determined to do something that the enemy comes to what? To try and tempt you with something very difficult in your life. But that calls for you being very focused and determined in your purpose because you are a child of God. And then finally, let's take pride because we belong to a very unique family. Last week, our sister Jean talked about the fact that we might be nobodies in this world according to the world systems. You know what? But taking pride in the fact that you're a child of God makes you a somebody that is beyond this life. Amen. Amen. People are somebodies only for this life. But you as a child of God is beyond this life. Amen. So while others may end in all their glory and their fame and everything here on this earth, you are heaven bound. Why? Because you have become like Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank and bless you for your word. We know that all knowledge, wisdom, and understanding comes from you. We thank you for the privilege that we can be sat under your feet to hear from you. Let this word be in our hearts, Lord, that we will be able to walk to please you. That being more like Jesus, we can continually have that assurance that a day would come that we will all be united as one family to give you all the glory and to give you all the honor. We thank you and we bless you because we know you hear us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.